Bibles, if you would. I was thrilled. She called me just the other day, last week, right before you and I left. John, she called, and I was in a hurry and busy. And those of you that know Charlotte, she loves to talk. And I had to plan my phone calls. But I loved talking to her. Don't take that. I was supposed to meet somebody somewhere, and I just changed those plans. I thought, I don't know how. I'm so glad I did. That is not that important. I'm going to stop what I'm doing, turn around. I'm going to park the truck, go back in the house, sit down. I'm going to talk to Charlotte. And we talked about her growing up and talked about the old days, and then got to talking about the Lord and her kids and on for probably the better part of an hour. I'm so glad I stopped. Remember to do that. Jackie, where's Evelyn? Is Evelyn not here today? I don't see Evelyn. She's with her family. Evelyn, a close friend of hers, they were out just a few days before to the movies. And I know Jackie spent about a half a day with her just recently. You're so glad that you took those times, because just like that, she was gone. So, but I'll tell you what, just like that, we'll be with her and many others. How many are looking forward to that day? Amen. Very soon. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. And we're going to continue on the power of the spoken words. Spoken word and the power of our words. Are you guys all right with that? I know the Lord is, and this is what He wants me to talk about it, so I trust that you are. And, you know, there's been a lot of controversy set around this subject. There's been a lot of confusion, a lot of error, but it does not change what Jesus said. And those of you that haven't been with us for a while, it may sound like we never left the subject. We've kind of made a loop, but I really felt like the Lord told me to go back now and really cement in the people the importance of what we say. And how many know we're not talking about positive thinking or just saying good things? If you're just saying good things, that's the world system of positive thinking. You know, Norman Vincent Peale was a great guy who was very positive. But how many know if your positiveness is not born out of a meditation in great and exceeding precious promises that in Him are yes and amen, your positiveness is ill-founded and the results will not be the same. Can you shout amen? So, I want you to look at this verse. Paul is speaking, and I want to encourage you this morning in this simple word. Now thanks be unto God, which always, I want you to read that together, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Would you say with me this morning, my God, come on. Help me out, people. My God is not a God of defeat. He's not the author of defeat. He doesn't use defeat. Now, He can take our defeat and turn it around, but it wasn't His plan A. He's got a plan B, C, whatever He needs. He loves us, but He is not the author of defeat. He is the God of triumph. His very name's El Shaddai, more than enough. Isn't that great? Thanks be unto God, which always, everybody shout always. Always. I don't know why this is being dampened, but this is what your Bible says, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of His knowledge. Isn't that beautiful? There's times when the King James does get it right. The savor of His knowledge by us in every place. How many know that in Jesus we are more than conquerors because of His great love for us. How many are familiar with Mark Hankins? I draw a lot from his ministry. Love to use a lot of his stuff as a resource. He has a little devotional that he did, and I wanted to read it to you in the light of this. You'll enjoy it. He's so comical. If you've never heard of him, his name is Mark Hankins. He calls it the smell of triumph. So once again, our scripture, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make manifest the savor, the smell, the flavor of his knowledge by us in every place. He gives this comical story of he and his family. He said several years ago, on one of our family vacations, I decided to drive through a wild animal park in Oklahoma. We purchased some small buckets of feed to give the various animals as we drove through. My daughter, Alicia, was sitting in the front passenger seat. My wife, Trina, and my son, Aaron, were sitting in the back seat. At first, all we saw were deer, so we fed the deer. They were nice and cute. Then a llama came strolling up in Alicia's side of the van. He scared her so much that she quickly pushed the power switch and rolled up her window. I laughed and said, "I'm not afraid of a llama." The llama must have heard me say that because he immediately came around to my side of the van and began to feed him out of my bucket. All of a sudden, he forced his whole head through the window and ate out of my bucket with his whole head in my lap. Alicia and I began to laugh nervously. The llama pulled his head out of the bucket and sneezed in my van. He said the llama spit and snot and slimy stuff went all across the front dash on our clothes. It was nasty and had a terrible smell. Anybody know anything about llamas? I immediately slapped the llama's head to get him out and rolled up the window, but the damage had been done. We left the park and headed for the nearest store to get some things to clean up the mess. We finally got the slime out, but the smell was more difficult. During our whole vacation, we could smell the llama sneeze every time we got in the van. The smell stayed in the van for months before we finally got it out. The llama was gone, but the smell was still there. Sin and Satan are the same way. You rarely get away with giving him just a little. When the devil gets his head in your life, he will not leave until he has sneezed on you, or worse, and made a mess. And he'll not leave. Jesus shed his blood, died, and rose from the dead for you to undo all that the devil has done. God not only wants to get the devil's head out of your life and clean up the mess, but he also wants you to be free from the smell of the past. You doing all right with that? You're still in a grace church. It's okay. Talk about sin. Because we talk way more about the answer. Are you here today? He wants you to be free from the smell of the past. God does not want you to smell like sin, failure, guilt, or shame. God wants you to apply the blood of Jesus to your life in every situation and smell like the triumph of Christ. The smell of his knowledge. Isn't that beautiful? In Christ, you have a sense of righteousness and victory. You can forget about the past, and press on for the high calling. This is what Paul is talking about in Philippians 3, where he says, "This one thing I do, I leave behind what is done." That takes great faith. "And I press on forward towards the mark of my high calling in Christ Jesus. The devil will do his best. Those that are close to you will do their best to always drag up the past. But let me tell you something, as long as you're always looking in the rearview mirror, you're a candidate for a head-on collision. Forget the past. Press on forward. Trust that his work is enough to purify, to cleanse. I believe in the truth of the gospel, that he can take the vilest sinner and make them innocent again. The restoration of innocence is something that only God can do. There's all kinds of different types of support groups that do good, that help people with anger, that help people with substance abuse and all these things, but there is only one place we can go where innocence is restored. Dare to trust him today. How many are glad for Jesus? Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? I love it. He says that's shouting ground. I agree. If you've sinned, if you failed, 1 John 1:17 says this, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us. And if you look at the original there, this is a perpetual Joseph Prince in his book, Destined to Reign. I love his example, and it's dead on. He talks about the waterfall of forgiveness for those who stand in righteousness by faith on a day-to-day basis. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. How many can shout amen this morning? Aren't you glad for that? Notice, though, that always in this thinking, there is a fellowship. It's not something you do by yourself. We need one another. How many are glad for Jesus? Amen? Thank God for the blood of Jesus and your place in Christ. Ephesians 3:12. I want you to turn there, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. This is a good one to underline. If you don't underline in your own Bible, then underline in your neighbor's Bible, but you need to underline this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12 says this, in whom, I want you to hear this today, in whom we have boldness. Most of what we're hearing in the church today causes us to retreat in fear and in shame from the presence of God. But let me tell you something, the righteousness we have in Jesus by faith, when we understand the gospel and the love of God, in whom we have boldness. Come on, can you say it today? Boldness. We have boldness. Listen, there is a place in the simplicity of childlike faith where we can stand boldly in the presence of God. It's what Hebrews tells us. Because of the blood that was shed, in whom we have boldness. And look at that next word, and access. You don't have to beg or plead. The Bible says we are the sons of God. Those of us who have believed and professed that he is the Son of God and came in the flesh are not of the spirit of Antichrist, but are the sons of God. John says we are called by him the sons and daughters of God. How many are glad for that today? Three of you. How many are glad for that today? Sons and daughters of God. And look what he says. We have boldness and access with, I mean, he's driving this home. Boldness. Think about it. Number two, access. If you have a hitch in your thinking in reference to God's love for you and his ability to abound towards you and for you, you haven't yet totally heard the gospel. I mean, you may have heard it, but you haven't heard it. Boldness and access with confidence. How about that? With confidence by, look at what it says, by the faith of Him. Aren't you glad it's not just your faith? Oh, how Jesus challenged the disciples. These weren't even born again men. Did you know that? Did you know the disciples were not born again? Before He died? You can't be. There was no salvation yet paid for. And He challenged men who were not yet born again in reference to their faith, taught them to believe and to speak words of faith, and said, if you'll do what I tell you to do, you'll see kingdom results. They weren't even born again. But they didn't have, you could say, the faith of Him. But today, for those of us who are in Jesus, we have been given faith. When we got born again, faith was deposited in us, and it's called the faith of Him. This is why Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now look at this one more time. In whom? Everybody say, in whom? Listen, man, you ought to find every scripture that you can find in the Bible that speaks of in Him. In whom? By whom? By Him. All these things written about who we are, what we have, and what we can do in and because of Jesus Christ, who causes us, we just read it, to triumph always. That may sound like a contradiction, and most of faith is. They thought Jack and I were fools when we spoke life into a dead body. I thought I was a fool. But I had a mandate. And the mandate caused a stirring and a cough. And suddenly we weren't the fools. Now I've had many times when we've prayed and it didn't seem like anything happens. But you better become convinced of this. I know that every time I pray, I don't care what the results are. I know that every time I pray according to the Word of God, there is a reaction in the Spirit. There's a supernatural connection. But there's another part to that story. There must be some form of reciprocation. Jesus spoke of agreement. So I'm not worried about it when I pray and it doesn't seem like anything happened. First off, we don't put a time on it. God doesn't necessarily put a time on it, but He'll work with us where we're at. And He doesn't force Himself on anybody. But it does not change the mandate that if we believe, we can lay hands. You don't need to go through a discipleship course to lay hands on somebody. You know the Holy Spirit in you is the best teacher there is. As long as you're staying in fellowship and receiving the Word of God, not men's ideas and philosophies, but the Word of God. If you'll dare to just simply believe. I love this past week, spending some time with somebody very near and dear to me. It had been a number of years since I'd seen their son. A guy that's been on my heart and I've prayed for many times, thought of him often. Met him 5 years ago for the first time, spent a couple of several hours visiting. And in that time, I was asked to pray for a couple of things. And one of those was something as simple, but not so simple as his knee. And I didn't know. I never heard. I love that kind of faith because they just believed. It was no big deal. They heard and they believed. And he shared with me and his dad how that when I prayed for him, this knee that had been bothering him terribly for a long time, construction worker, heavy construction, how that the pain left just like that. He said 2 weeks later, now this is somebody who you could say, I'm not saying he's a baby, but in this thinking, he is a baby. It's new, it's fresh. That's not a bad thing. That's a wonderful thing. I wish many of us could just become babies again. Just simply say, out of the innocence of our heart, you said it, I take it. We got so much stuff jumbled up, it takes real effort to renew our minds from religion and religious thought to be like a child again and just simply take what he says. That seems to be the hardest barrier, because if we read our Bibles, healing is no different nor should be any difficult than receiving forgiveness. The Bible never separates them. What does it matter, Jesus said about the man who had been let down through the roof, if I say, take up your bed and walk, or your sins be forgiven you? Jesus saw no difference at all. He who had already died in eternity's past for our sin, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, knew his destiny and that he would lay down his life, not just for one thing, but for all that had been set against the purposes of God. Can you shout redemption this morning? By the blood. What I thought was so beautiful about this, though, was that we're sitting there and we're talking to a guy who's... He said about 2 weeks later, he said that pain came back. And he said, I don't know where this came from, but I just told my knee, no, you don't. I was healed 2 weeks ago. And he said the pain left. I wish most of us that have been around for a while understood that a little better. Cast not away your confidence. Don't be so quick to say, well, it must not be true. I think we'll change our theology because our theology doesn't seem to match our experience. That's the making of cults. Be careful. The Word of God is still true. I said it last week, and I'll say it again, and it's not a pronouncement over me at all. But if I fail at this, if I were to fail at this and die early, I hope I can get enough stuff in you that you'll say, doesn't matter, I know the truth. I gave the example last week of John and Dodie Osteen. He preached it good. She lived it. I'm not saying he didn't. But she got a hold of healing. And she's outlived him by 20 plus years. How many are glad for Jesus today? Couple of months, several months, I don't remember the exact, but it was months. This young man, I say he's young because he's just a few years younger than me. He acts younger. I love that guy. He's been on my mind ever since. Excuse me, that was something else in reference to that. He said, several months later, he said, it came back with a gusto. This has been 5 years ago, roughly. Several months later, he said, it came back. He said, this time, he said, I don't know why or where it came from, but I spoke to it and said, no, you don't. I was healed. This, no training, no teaching. He believed. He said, no, you don't. He said, it left and it's never been back. The enemy will come back time and time again. He'll try to shut your mouth up. He'll try to get you to back off and get afraid of, well, what if I say something and it doesn't happen? Listen, that's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. I'd rather be shouting it out while I'm going down and lose, shouting it out and never know why, than to let somebody shut my mouth in reference to how good he is and how powerful he is and how faithful he is and that every promise in him is yes and amen to the glory of God. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of up to here with sissy religion. Playing it safe. Always the middle of the road. Balance has become their new god of choice. While the man who spit in mud, spit in dirt and made mud and smeared it in the eyes of a blind man. Most churches in this day and age wouldn't tolerate that. That's crazy. That's going overboard. He's going to look like a fool. What if he fails? I want to challenge you today. Do you know how big the God is on the inside of you? And His Word says He causes us to triumph always in Christ. Woo! And Ephesians 3 says, boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. What if I fail? So what? There was a time when I didn't believe this, and I missed every shot I didn't take. 3 out of 10 is better than 0 out of 10. 5 out of 10 is pretty stinking good. 7 out of 10 is mind-blowing. It's all about perception. Where are you getting yours? Romans 12:2 says, be not shaped by the spirit of this age, but rather be transformed by the renewing. Romans 12:2, write it down. By the renewing of your minds. I feel like we need to stop right where we're at. Lay your Bible down, your hands, lift your hands all over the room today. Let's worship Him a minute, shall we? Oh, forget about who's around you. Come on, be bold. Open your mouth. Since when did believers get worried about what other believers think, let alone the world? How we love you, Jesus. How we honor you. Let your wife hear you, guys. Let your husband hear you, ladies. How we love you. Let your neighbor hear your voice. Jesus, you're good. Devil, you've been beating me up all week long, and I'm so aware of myself that I can hardly lift my head up. But today I dare like a child once again to lift my voice in childlike faith and dare to believe that you are faithful even when I'm not. Your forgiveness was already done before I ever asked it. And today, like a child, I reach out and receive what is mine, not because I beg, but because you freely give when I could have given a rip about who you were. Woo, how we love you today and honor you for who you are. Hallelujah. Shout with me, I'm more than a conqueror. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Man, that's good stuff. Go Mark Hankins. Paul did not say, you'd never go through tough times. In fact, I guarantee you, I'm going to back up and say, I guarantee you, if you set your voice aright and you begin to speak the Word of God, you will be met with opposition. But how many would dare to, from testimonies of the past and a knowledge in Him of the future, dare to shout, it's worth it. Let me hear you. It's worth it. It's worth it. Never quit. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. Paul didn't say you'd never have any tough times. He says, I like what somebody said years ago, tough times never last, but tough people do. So how do you get to be so tough? The Bible says in Ephesians 6:10, be strong. Hear with your hearts today. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. when the voice of criticism and discord rises above the voice of faith, you're in trouble. Walk away, get away. I won't be that. I'm not going to be a garbage can. I'm setting my voice and my heart aright. I'm not going there. I know where that takes me. Are you doing all right this morning? We're doing okay. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Philemon 1:6 says, this is how we become strong. He says that the communication, the speaking and living forth of our faith is made strong, effective. King James says, effectual by the acknowledging of all the good that is in us in Christ Jesus. Did I get it right? I see some of you looking at the board. Then you can take it home, because it's not me saying it. It's your Jesus by the Holy Spirit through the men of old telling you today, don't quit. Be bold. With confidence by the faith of Him. That's how you become strong. I love it. Acknowledge every good thing that is in you, in Christ. When you get up in the morning, walk around your bedroom and say, I give thanks unto the Father. Those of you I have read out of the little blue book in Him, this sermon is a reflection back of what that book teaches. The power of our confession, homologio, to say the same thing as, in this case, as God, about my circumstance, about me, about my future, about with those who pertain to me, say the same thing as. This is where the devil will fight you the most. Some of you, when you were getting hold of grace, he fought you like crazy, and others fought you like crazy, and we've seen others bail away from the ship because they said, I need my law, I need fences, I need the security. God help them, because there's a price to pay in planet Earth for that. How many are glad today for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? When I got saved, it was by grace through faith, and not right now, my living every day under the wholeness that He provides is by grace through faith. Fought you like crazy till one day you said, it really has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with Him and my receiving my faith. The next hurdle is faith itself. For these two power twins, faith and grace, or grace and faith, I don't want to hurry past them so we can talk about something cute. This is where we live every day. I'm glad for Jesus. You need to get up in the morning and walk around your bedroom and say, somebody in here needs to hear this. I don't care what your uncle told you or your daddy or your mama or how many times you've been in and out of wherever or whatever. You need to stand up and you need to say, this is a new day. Open up your mouth, begin to shout it. I find it interesting. I heard a preacher this morning talking about that very thing. He said it's interesting that the Hebrew children were told to march around an enemy's wall, but on the seventh round, the number of perfection in the Hebrew language, they were to open their mouth and shout and blow on horns and make such a noise. And when they begin to shout the shout of victory in obedience to God, the walls came down. The physical archaeological site that they try their hardest to explain, they do not understand how that the walls did not fall down like this. They went straight down. That is your and my miraculous God. He will not cooperate with the laws of nature, for He is the author of all nature, and He'll do it how He pleases for those who stand on His word. I'll never forget back, this has been a couple of years ago, we supernaturally had a vehicle given to us. Jackie's little white truck. That's more than a little white truck. It was a sign of God's faithfulness. And the interesting thing is that we didn't need. This wasn't coveting or talking or manipulating or trying to get something to happen because we needed. I'd heard her express a few times, it'd be so awesome. And a guy that doesn't come to our church pulled up on our driver and said, "What do you think of my new truck?" And we're like, "It's great, good for you. It's awesome. We rejoice with you." It was confusing. He goes, "Well, do you like my new truck?" I said, "Well, yeah." He said, not to me, he said, "Jackie, here's a key." He says, "Get in it and sit." And I'm like, "Geez, what in the world? This is..." So get in it and sit in it. "Do you like it?" She goes, she's confused as I was, weren't we? Utterly. She said, "It's beautiful. It's great. I'm happy." He goes, "It's good because it's yours." Now here's the conflict. I had a hitch in my gut about that truck. And a truck that I was so grateful for what God had done, and because I wasn't taking the time to put to... How many are glad for the Holy Spirit, like the young man we were talking about? He just learned, listen, you got to trust the... You don't need every stinking little thing taught to you. If you can't come to church because I'm not teaching your pet doctrine, you better examine what's going on in your heart. Now I'm meddling and not preaching. I need to back up. Okay, here we go. All right, so. And because of this confusion, after a while, it was always there. I began to, without even realizing what I was doing, I began to be frustrated with that truck. "I've never had..." You can get your mouth going. Dodges. Dodges. Now I drive a big bad Dodge. Dodges. "I never had luck with a Dodge. I never had luck with a..." Here's the faith. "I never had luck with a..." Okay, so anyway. And after a while, it was like, I didn't like that truck. And I was already talking to my wife. "You need... Honey, I don't want... The Lord gave me that truck. We need to sell that truck. Stinking Dodge." We're down in Phoenix. True story. We're down in Phoenix and we're driving down, I believe it was Happy Valley Road, meeting somebody to eat. And there's this loud pop. It was so loud, I thought I ran over. First, I thought my tire blew. And then when everything was straight, I thought something had... I didn't know what we'd run over. So I literally pulled over and went to check to make sure everything was in place. Everything seemed solid. Got back in the truck. We drove on down, ate at the restaurant with that group together. Afterwards, they all left and headed home towards Prescott. I don't know what we were doing. We might have been smooching in the parking lot. You never know with Jackie and I. And so at any rate, after that, we headed out. Up the highway, heading back home. And we got up about part of the way up to Sunset Point, and I kept feeling something kind of odd. And I got up, pulled over and got out and checked everything, went over and grabbed a hold of the wheel and tried to check the bearing and seemed solid as a rock, got all the way up on top, and then all of a sudden seemed like something finally did slump. Well, I went out. I couldn't really see anything, so we just flipped on our flashers, and we drove home, I'm sure to the angst and anger of many, about 40 mile an hour from Sunset Point all the way into our driveway. And when we pulled into the driveway, you've heard another story like this about me in Honduras. We pulled into the driveway. As we stopped, the wheel went conk. So I call my mechanic, Luis Ayala. the best mechanic on planet Earth. Love the guy. Except for Chris. I didn't know Chris yet. Chris was such a blessing to my daughter. Huh? I just recently found out about Keith. You got some competition, brother. Let me tell you the story about you mechanics, then will appreciate this, because you'll understand what the others don't. I called him, and he came over, and walked up to the door, and he's holding something in his hand, and he goes, "You came all the way from Prescott Valley like this?" I said, "No, came from Phoenix." His eyes got this big. Quite a comical sight, because he's dark as dark. Big. He says, "That's not possible." I said, "I'm not telling you whether it's possible. I'm telling you that's what happened." I said, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah." He says, "You came from Phoenix?" He said, "That isn't possible." He said, "The only thing holding this wheel on, the spindle had gotten so hot that it had welded a single washer." I've still got it. This big around, a washer. Do you know the one I'm talking about on the spindle? Had welded it. He said, "I don't even know how this could happen." He said, "It had welded it to the spindle, and that's the only way you got home." You imagine coming up before that? Well, I was stretching my angels. Can you say God is faithful? What do you believe about yourself today? Do you believe that you're here for a purpose? Do you believe Jeremiah 29:11 that says he's got a plan and a future and a hope for you? A blueprint. And I love the fact that he's got backup blueprints. Some of you builders know about backup blueprints. Modifications and changes, because we messed up. Would you shout with me this morning, "He is good." And his mercy. He didn't say you wouldn't have battles. He didn't say you wouldn't have tough times. But the word says, when the enemy comes against me one way, he'll flee seven ways. That's your Bible. Isaiah 54:17, look at it. Isaiah 54:17 says this. I'm not going to read all the verse. It says, "No weapon." Don't look at me like that. Like I'm preaching something extreme and off the wall. I'm not saying that. Your Bible, by the way, in the Old Testament, before the completion of the work of Jesus, says, "No weapon formed against you will prosper." And do you know why? Read Isaiah 54. He says, "Those that have a knowledge of righteousness by faith." He said, "A day will come when there will be another kind of righteousness." Isaiah. And the result of that righteousness, be careful what you name and let doctors name for you. Your Bible says, and you better get your mouth lined up with it and begin to say it even when your mind rages against you, says that those that are established in righteousness, that oppression/depression will be far from them. Shout it in the midnight. Shout it at the top of your lungs in your car on the way. Let the voice of faith be heard. I love what the man that I was talking about earlier. Nobody had to teach him. The Holy Spirit in him said, talk to your knee and tell it, no, you don't. I was healed. Most religious people would say, well, God has a purpose. And there was a timing. He allowed it to come back. So therefore, there must be a purpose in His divine plan. A baby said, I was healed 2 weeks ago. No, you don't. He said, in a half hour. Not instantly, in a half hour. The enemy will try to take the word of God and cram it right back down your throat and make you feel and look like a fool. But I want to share with you, I love Job, and you've heard me say this before, I love what Job, the most ancient book in the Old Testament, which, by the way, 90% of people got wrong. Amen. The picture there is Jesus, not Job. And Job said in his ignorance and not understanding that it wasn't God afflicting him, but even with his messed up understanding, he got close enough to God to know who he was. And he said, God, even if you kill me, I'll still serve you. Amen. You got to get that kind of, it doesn't matter if it works for me or not. I'm going to shout it from the mountaintops. I'm going to declare it like it's true. I'm getting my mouth in the right direction. And you better get ready, because when there is that kind of boldness. What was the other word? Access. With confidence by the faith of Him. You better get ready. I'm not saying everything's going to change overnight. There'll be battles. He didn't say, because of this, no weapon's going to be formed against you. He said, the weapons that will be formed against you will not prosper. Most of you here aren't aware of Terry Mize. Jack and I know him personally. Tremendous missionary man of God in Mexico. He wrote a book. How many have ever heard of Terry Mize? You remember Terry Mize? I led worship at his church when we were just wee little babies, dating and newly married. There in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Terry Mize wrote a book based on an incident that happened with him in Mexico, in which they were ran off the road by bandits. And a guy at point blank, while he stood there praying in tongues and saying, in the name of Jesus, you can't hurt me, the guy point blank pointed at his belly, unloaded a revolver. True story. This is not firsthand. I mean, it was firsthand for him, but we know the man well, know his ministry. The guy that pulled the trigger looked at his gun, threw it down, freaked out, and started running. Just nowhere, just running. As long as the devil can keep you from knowing who you are and in whom you are, are you here today? He'll get away with all kinds of stuff. As long as he can keep you intimidated, little by little, I want to move our conversation, because this thing of speaking the word is fully connected with authority. Many people don't receive their prayers answered because they don't understand authority. It's one of the reasons why today's culture is so dangerous. Because young people are not understanding. They're not guarding the lines of authority. Every advertisement and commercial teaches young and old to challenge authority, to question authority. And then our authorities give us plenty of reason right now to question everything. And you can become so disillusioned Be not conformed to the spirit of this age, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your minds. You can take God's word to the bank. How many love Jesus today? I don't have time to go where I wanted to go. But this thing of spoken words, James says the tongue, it can be like a wildfire. Sets the world on fire. He warns about trees that produce both bitter and sweet. Fountains that produce bitter and sweet. Speaks of the tongue that is like a rudder that changes the course of great ships. When we begin to make declarations, people, I've heard people say in the past, and they were right, when you put so much emphasis on grace, aren't you giving people a license to sin? Not if you're preaching true grace. It'll bring you swiftly and abruptly to the feet of a loving Jesus in which you can't hide anything anymore. You can't point to anybody else. You can't leverage at all. You're brought to a place where what am I going to do with you? Not a system. That's why I love the true message of grace. A true message of faith is not imbalanced if we connect it with the power, the way God created the world, the power of the spoken word. There's something about making a declaration of faith. It's hard for me to be critical of others and hateful at the same time that I'm making a declaration of the promises of God. Somebody who takes the word of God and it begins to come out of your mouth, you become very aware, because this grace by faith thing is how we live. You become very aware of His presence. You become very aware of what it is that you let your eyes see. Not a legalistic imposition of laws, but now the beauty of the law of love written on the heart of the believer. Now suddenly you're not looking for what you can get away with in grace, but you're looking at how far you can go to let you not be seen and for others to see Him. Young women who begin to make a profession of faith are suddenly aware of, I'm making some bold statements, others are watching. Suddenly, you dress a little different. You behave a little different. Young men who get a hold of this, their language. You know, one of the biggest challenges to adult men in the world we live in today, and I'm sure you can throw a bunch of stuff in, but is anger. It's a sign of the time we live in. It's something that every one of us can battle with. The Bible says, be angry, but sin not. How many know there's some things we should be angry at? But if you let anger get down on the inside of you, I love that principle. Ephesians says, don't let the sun go down. Even if it's righteous, be at peace when you lay your head on the pillow. Don't let anger run your life. The guy who can stand and begin to humbly submit and open his mouth and begin to confess with his mouth the beauty of God on the inside of him. Confess with his mouth the health that God gives. We read Proverbs 3 last week and 4, three and four last week, and a host of other scriptures. The one who can speak the word of God in reference to our future, the one who speaks the word of God, there is something that takes place when you stand in the flood of grace and respond with a voice of faith, that suddenly, without you trying, there is a cleansing and a cleaning up of our act. Not by law, but because of love. Turn around to your neighbor and tap them and say, faith is a big deal. And it's time we no longer resist. I'm telling you, even as I've preached this over the last several weeks, you can feel, and I understand it because I've been there, people just, you think it'd be easier for me to quit this and move on to something else? Yeah, it would be. But the just, how many in here have gotten a hold of the fact that your righteousness is no longer of you? And you, the just, shall live by another supernatural system that can weld a stinking washer to a spindle till you get home. How? But God. The thing is, if the volcano's not building enough in you, because you're storing the word, David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak." Are you storing and filling and storing and filling till you can't help? You ever been sitting, some of you guys that like, how many in here like to hunt? You got about halfway through a show. You got about halfway through a hunting show. And you heard yourself, "I'm going to try that." And at the same time, you're coming up off the couch, heading back to your gun room, kind of looking things over, or maybe through. Action and voice and everything and desire with emotion all came together. And action began to become a reality. I won't even talk about bass fishing shows because I'll lose train of thought and we'll never get back. By the way, John Harris kicked my fanny fishing. We had a great time. What a great time we had. That's why I wasn't here Wednesday. I was being very unspiritual. Huh? We prayed over every fish. Actually, that's more spiritual than you think. You love Jesus today? Yes. Isn't it great to be in His presence like this? Receive from the Word. Do your homework. We've talked about it for months. I would hesitate to ask how many have got into your Bible and begin to, for yourself, ferret out scriptures that tell you who you are, what He's done for you, what you are in Him. There's hundreds, and begin to boldly say, "No weapon." Some of you need to write that down on your mirror. Right now, you have great weapons being amassed against you, and some of you are shrinking in fear. Wrong reaction. Be bold. You have boldness and access and reason to be confident by the faith of Him who always, marrying to our first scripture, causes us to triumph in Christ. Words are a big deal. Words can take a marriage apart. Have you ever noticed how you can be having a really good day and excited? Maybe had a great devotional. And you go and you sit down with someone and they begin to just... And inside of 5 minutes, you have agreed with them, joined in the conversation, and you walk away from there angry, disillusioned, mad at the world, your faith is at the bottom, questioning God. Nothing happened there. Nothing in reality took place. Nothing but a conversation. That's why as believers we're told, let corrupt communication be far from you. Only speak that which administers grace to the hearer. Words. I'm very glad for Jesus today. Think of what Jesus told the disciples. He says, "Hey guys, we've been walking this thing long enough. You saw the fig tree deal. You saw the fig tree deal yesterday, right?" Mm-hmm. All right, you got some challenges. Well, let me tell you how I did that and how this works. Open up your mouth and start talking to your mountain. Right now when I said that, there are people that go, "Don't you make me do that. I'm tired of, you've worn that a saddle sore on my back, and it makes me mad when you say that." Be careful when the word of Jesus offends. Somebody say, uh-oh. Like a child, open your mouth and blast like a trumpet. I don't care if it shrivels up a big frown and glares at you, that mountain. You keep talking to it. For faithful is he who has promised. He'll complete that which he began in us. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you both to do." And even when I got the 2-year-old, and to will of his. You ever been there? You know what I mean by the 2-year-old thing? I was there last week. I know he's working in me both to will and to do. I mean, Chad's going, "I know exactly what you're..." Second time around, "I know exactly what you're talking about." Aren't they wonderful, though? I'm out of time. I wanted to tell you about the salmon, but you're just going to have to be left hanging on a string. I'll give you this little teaser, and it's this. Their whole destiny, their whole everything, is to travel 2,000 miles upstream through bears and waterfalls to plant seed. Everything comes against them. You'll hear this again. But the bears will rip their belly out for the eggs and leave the carcass. The enemy isn't just after you. He wants to stop seeds from being planted. He wants to stop you from saying and declaring. This is why Mark chapter 4 speaks of seed that fell on different kinds of ground. And over you today, I speak